Jesus Christ is our living hope. Amen. He's alive. He's here. He's with you. He knows everything about you. He's gone ahead of you. He's sorting it. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Come on, let's give God a real good hand clap, shall we, and applaud him. You might be at home watching this, but you can do this in your home as well. You can join us. We just stopped, so let's do it again while everybody at home joins us as well. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for joining us online. I'm finding out people are joining us online from everywhere. Hallelujah. It was an interesting thing when we were in Poland last Sunday. They decided to, for the first time, broadcast their service live properly. And the last figure that I heard was 400 people watched them online. When you think it's a small church there, that's like many times bigger than what people were in the church there. They were absolutely excited about the reach that they'd had. And they were starting to get emails back in and saying, oh, hallelujah, God's good, isn't he? Yeah. Who are you? If I were to come around with a microphone and say to you, who are you really? What are you going to say? I mean, the first thing we're going to say is, well, I'll make it personal. I am Ian. And then I might say, I'm a man. But that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And then I might say, I am a young man. I might say, I am English. I might say, I am married to the most beautiful woman in the world for me. Who are you? You meet people and they say, I'm divorced. Or they say, I'm rich. Nobody's going to admit that, are they? But everybody will admit to being poor, won't they? Why is that an English thing? People say, I'm poor. And they've got £150,000 sitting in the bank waiting for a rainy day. Well, we live in England. Oh, people are going to say, I'm highly educated. They're not going to say that either, are they? They're more likely to say, oh, these are Graham's words, I'm not so clever. You know, he's all the time saying, well, I'm not so clever. And normally it means I'm not very well. But I'm talented. We're never going to say that, aren't we? You might be brilliant at playing the piano, but you say, no, I'm not really very talented. Why do we hide things about who we are? But we're starting to say who we are, and sometimes we are somebody different at church compared to the somebody that we are at home, compared to the somebody that we are at work. It's like we've got three masks. At home, we take it off. At church, we put one on, smile, hands in the air, using language that we never use for the rest of the week. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and maybe venture into a little bit of speaking in tongues, because you can at church, without everybody thinking that you're really weird. And at home, you're more likely to say, where's my tea? Or this house needs cleaning. Oh, never say that, guys. You're going to be in trouble. But it's like we wear no mask at home. We wear a church mask when we go to church. And then we wear a different mask when we go to work. We wear a different mask when we go to shopping, don't we? Or at least I do. It's like a worried look. How many pairs of shoes is she going to buy today? You know, it's a worried look. And we present ourselves in different ways. The truth of it is you can present yourself in whatever way you want to, but the real person is still behind that mask. And I'm asking a question today, who are you really? And I guess I want to challenge us all to say, will the real person please stand up? You see, the thing of it is that life and the things that happen to us in our life shape who we think we are. Maybe life really went wrong with you, and you know, maybe a crazy thing happened to you. Maybe you got sick. Maybe you were made bankrupt. Maybe your family all fell apart. Maybe you got kicked out of work. Maybe because some real stuff, bad stuff, happens to good people, doesn't it? Well, I'm the only person in this building, am I, that that's ever happened to? Keeps happening to me. But what do we do? It's how we react. And then we can say to ourselves, well, I'm no good. And we start to take on a persona. We start to take on an identity that reflects the problems, the circumstances around us in our life instead of looking on the inside and finding out, who am I really? You see, every person that has taken on the persona, the identity of the circumstances that are around them, and they wear a sad face because it's sad. They talk in a negative way because it is bad. They close down on friendships and their hope for the future because actually it's been a really, really tough time. Every one of those people hasn't yet really understood who they really are. Because the truth of it is that who you are on the inside of you is not the sum, the total, the amount of the things that have happened to you, of whether you're rich or poor or whether you're old or young or whether whatever you are. The sum of who you really are on the inside of you is that you are a new creation, loved by God, redeemed by His blood, and you are able to stand despite what's in your rearview mirror. You're able to stand strong and say, I am who I am by the grace of God, and God is not finished with me nor you yet. Amen? We've just not realized the wonderful person that we really are. It's time for us to have some fresh thinking about who we really are. Jesus was concerned about his own identity. He said to his disciples one time in Matthew 16, verse 13, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, he's God. He's supposed to know everything, isn't he? Well, we spoke about that last time, or it was on Wednesday that we did it, that actually God laid aside his reputation, and he was interested for the disciples to tell him who people were saying he is. He was interested in his own identity. And they came back, of course, and said, you're the Son of... And that's where Peter came with this great answer, and Jesus said to him, on this rock I will build my church. He was interested in his own identity. Let me go run through just a few little bite-sized statements about who you and me. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, and if you're not, today's a day for you to come to faith in Christ. But if you are, this is who you are. You are a son or a daughter of God. Think about it. Smile about it. Let the penny drop. Give thanks to God that you are. Don't sit so glum. I just declared that you are the son or a daughter of the living God. We've just been traveling. Yeah, that's starting. I'm going to keep saying it until the penny's dropped. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. You are. You are at home a son or the daughter of the living God. That's who you are. I was the son of somebody called Fred and Phyllis Critchley. Both home in glory right now for many, many, many years. I've got their DNA. But you know, even greater than that, I'm a son of God because I was born again by the Spirit of God. And that happened, and that is real, and that is who I am. I am not what my bank account says. I am not what my success level says. I am not who you think I am. I am who he thinks I am. And he calls me son. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, guys, we need to have a rejoicing in our hearts. Don't go quiet on me. We need to have a rejoicing in our heart because of who you are. Number two, you are loved by God. It's going to get better, I know. But while I was in Poland, you went sleepy. And you're loved by God. So nobody loves me. Oh, yes, they do. God loved you enough to die on the cross. We just celebrated that in taking communion. Loved by God. Number three, you've been chosen. You were on his list, and he chose you, knowing everything about you. I've said to God many times, God, I would have not chosen me to go and serve you. I would have, knowing everything I know about me, I would have not chosen me. And God has reminded me many times, I knew everything about you, and I know everything about you until the day that you'll see me, and I still chose you. That is the grace of God, isn't it? And God chose you too. You're on his list. You're part of this family of God. He chose you despite and ignoring and well, not ignoring, actually dealing with all the things that should have restricted us or made us not suitable, God still loved us. The Bible says, whilst we were still sinners, God died for us and reached out to us. You are a new creation. Everything became new. New. I'm a new creation. And by the way, that's not, on the 3rd of May, 19, whatever it was, I became a new creation. I am being transformed into his likeness and a new creation daily. There is a daily work of the Holy Spirit happening to me and happening to you. You are becoming more like him every day if you are responding to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You're reading the word, you're being at church and you are, or you're watching me and you are. Thank you very much. You are a new creation and he's working on it right now. He's never going to finish that creation until it's done. He who's began a good work is not going to stop it. Is that what the Bible says? Until that day. You know, I come from Stoke-on-Trent. That's where I hail from originally, and it's called the Potteries. In the day that I was a little lad in Stoke-on-Trent, we had big bottle kilns belching out smoke into the air and clay. Every school had a potter's wheel and clay was like one of the things, and everybody knew somebody who worked in, we call them the pot banks, or the pottery factories, Wedgwood, Spode, Milton, and all of those, Royal Dalton and all that. And it was an amazing thing to be able to throw a chunk of clay onto the wheel, and you started pumping it with your hand like that, and very slowly this thing came out of your hands, and it's like, whoa, look what I just did. And then you make one wrong move, and the whole thing goes wibbly-wobbly, and it's a mess. And I tell you, you're clay in a potter's hand today. You are a new creation. He's not finished with you yet. But he's never going to leave you. He's never going to walk away from you and say, forget that. You're a bunch of old clay and you can do nothing with you. No, God does something with you. And you are a new creation. You are salt and light. You say, well, no, I'm the part of the problem. No, you're part of the answer. You just haven't seen it yet. In your family, you are going to be salt and light. In your community, you're going to be salt and light. Down your street, you're going to be salt and light. In your workplace, you're going to be salt and light. Wherever you are, you're going to be salt and light, because that's what God said you're going to be. You can think that you're part of the problem, all you like, but it doesn't change who you really are. Well, who you really are, if you'll only wake up who you really are, you're part of the answer, not part of the problem. You will have problems, but you're part of the answer. Not you, but the grace of God that will shine through you. You'll have words to speak to your family, words to speak in your community, words to speak tomorrow at church, which will bring life to people. You're part of salt and light. You're a mirror. Are we all looking in the mirror every day? If you don't look in the mirror, chaps, and you've got a mustache or something, you're going to end up with half a mustache. It happened to me some months ago, and I wasn't looking, paying any attention, and I came to church that Sunday with a trimmer, smaller, thinner mustache than I've ever had before. Because this one came down, and this was still up, so I had to take this side down to match this side, and then slowly grow them back up again. And I thought, I'm not going to do that again in a hurry. We are there to reflect. The Bible talks, we'll come to some verses in a minute. We're there to reflect God into his glory, into the world. It's not like, here am I, look at me. It's no, I am a mirror. I'm come to reflect who God is. I'm come to reflect the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. I'm here to let, to be, it's amazing what light can be reflected out of a mirror. Hallelujah. Who else are you? You've been selected. Now, that's a bit like chosen, but I'm using this one specifically. You've been selected to be trusted by God to fulfill his plan and purpose. Say, what, me? I'm nobody. Oh, for goodness sake, can we really learn a new language about who you are? You're not a nobody, you are a somebody. And you've been selected by God to be part of this team, to be part of God's team. I mean, team destiny and team Jesus is the same thing, to actually go and fulfill something by way of destiny, by way of calling. Every person, a minister, we talk about that so many times. Every member of destiny, a minister. You might say, well, you know, I haven't really found my place. You've already found your place. Just shine. Go and encourage people. I see people moving around when we're having coffee, moving around, saying hello. That's a real great ministry. At the end of a service, going around saying, hi, my name is so-and-so. How are you? It's a ministry. Going home, praying, it's a ministry. Giving, it's a ministry. You know, we've all got a part to play. And we can think about a part to play around the nations of the world. But right now, right here today, we're talking about Destiny Church in Wakefield or wherever you're watching us from. You've got a part to play. You've been selected by God to be on Team Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to play our part well, don't we? I'm trying to play my part well and doing what I'm doing here right now. I'm only doing this because God selected me. He called me. He chose me. You know, the band, when they were selected, they were doing what God has called them to do. The welcome team, they were doing it. The catering team, they're doing it. The children's team are doing it right now. But even the people who cleaned the carpet before you came in and put the chairs out, they were doing it. And when you gave some tithe and offering, you were doing it. And when you prayed, you were doing it. People before the service in a prayer group were praying. You know, all those people all the time, everybody putting together on youth on a Friday night. You know, when you're rehearsing with the band on a Tuesday night, you're fulfilling what God's called you to do. Amen. Behind making this happen is an awful lot of people. There are people all the way across our tech booth right now that are working, serving God. People standing behind cameras, working, serving God. I mean, it takes a lot of people to make this service happen. You know, it takes at least 40 people to make a service happen here. We're all serving and working hard. Thank you very much. That's who you are. You've been selected, trusted by God to fulfill a purpose. Thank you very much. And even if you just come and sit here, you know, you have no idea how encouraged I am when I see you. I know what it's like to preach to nobody. I did it for nearly 1.5 years during the pandemic. Staring down a little camera, trying to imagine you. I used to imagine faces, because it was like the only person I ever saw for all of that time when I was preaching was my wife. And she was on the keyboard doing chat and all the rest of it. And I'd say, look at me just once or twice, just look at me and encourage me. You know, then we came back together and, whoa, I will never ever take you for granted ever again, because when I look out and I see your faces, you encourage me just by being here. You're on Team Jesus and on Team Destiny. And that's my last point on that, really, is I'm part of the family of God. Who are you? I'm part of the best family on earth, the biggest family on earth, the family of God. And we are brothers and sisters. That's who we are. We are brothers and sisters. Amen. Now then, let me go and just hit a few verses before we conclude in our message. Are you ready? This is what the Bible says about. Now, I'm going to change some of these we's and you's to being I's. I'm going to make the verses very personal. Is that okay? Don't worry. God is not upset with me for changing the Bible, because we're just getting the meaning to clear to emphasize it. So let's start in Psalm 139:14. I praise you. Will you do that? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So the next time you look in the mirror and you say, I don't like me. My nose is too big. Well, you can't change that. My tummy's too big. Well, you can change that. I'm too short. You can't change that. You just love who you are that God made you. I've been fearfully. God was not afraid when he made you. That's just a Bible word meaning like this was like an awesome moment. And your works are wonderful. That's about who you are when you were created. I know that full well. My frame, that's my body, was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. You know where that is, don't you? It's called bed. Mostly. Usually. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. That's all about the gestation of a baby in the womb of a mother. And all the days ordained for me, that's pre-me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for every baby in a womb from the moment of conception. They are a beautiful person that God intended to be. And I don't want to cry a political bing, bang, bong something right now, but I'm just going to tell you something. They are precious lives. And when they are born, they are precious lives. And when they get old and crinkly, not looking at anybody in particular, you are still precious lives. And we've been made by God and before we were born. And then what about this second verse? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But I am, you can see it, you are. That's what it will say, you are. But here I am saying, I am a chosen person. I am a royal priest. I belong to God. And I declare the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once I was not a person like this, but now I am a people of God. I am a son of God. Once I had not received mercy, but now I have received mercy. That's who I am. I have received mercy and I am chosen by God. Awesome, isn't it? Come on, you're going to slowly get excited by the end of this. You're going to be standing on your chair shouting whoopee for Jesus or something. Oh, I love you guys. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me, us, you, in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm blessed. Somebody said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. What do you think about that? Nudge your neighbor and say, be more blessed than stressed. See, life stresses us, but God blesses us. And then it says, for he chose me, I'm making it personal for you as well, you can say it about yourself, he chose me in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined, that means he predetermined, he wanted it to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. I've been adopted by God. Awesome. That's why I called a Christian. You know that, don't you? It's Christ and Ian. Christ and Ian put together. And if you take the A out of it, it's Christ in. Okay, you can make up your own version of Christian, but for me, it's Christ and Ian together. And that's... it's good, isn't it? I told you you'd get excited by the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we, with unveiled... Me? You? With unveiled faces... all reflect. This is the mirror that I was talking about earlier. We reflect the Lord's glory and we're being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord. The more you look at Jesus, the more you'll become like him. The more you listen to Jesus, the more you'll be like him. The more you come to church like this. Like this. You're going to go to a good church, haven't you? Thank God for a good church, eh? You are awesome. We reflect the Lord's glory and we're being transformed. And my last verse, and just in this little bit, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, no, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. Say, well, I'm just under the weather. Well, it's okay. To the weather and stand up and rise up, even in the storm. What was the song say? What was the words? I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Why? Because I'm more than a conqueror. So no, I'll start singing when it's all over. Listen, if you start singing now, it'll be over quicker than it would have been if you didn't start singing. Bad things happen to good people. But in the middle of those things, we need to sing praise to God. That's who I am. I'm not somebody who's going to be... Oh, sometimes we need to, you know, feel like we've got to climb to the top of the mountain, and sometimes we feel like the mountain's on top of us. I don't care whether you're on the top of the mountain or you feel under the mountain, start to sing. Yeah. You remember, there was a couple of guys in the New Testament who were in prison. Yeah. What were their names?
Paul and Silas.
So they were singing. They'd been locked up. They were shattered. Shackled. They're probably shattered as well. In the middle of the night... they started to sing, the Bible says, hymns of praise to God. Yeah. And suddenly, the shackles came off, the doors burst open, they were free. And it all happened when they began to praise. Who am I? Who are you really? We need to be a people of praise. We need to be a people who rejoice even in the middle of the storm, even before the answer has come. I'm in the middle of a lot of storms, so are you. And we need to be in a place where we say, God, you are the answer to all of this. It's not about, when everything in the garden is lovely, then I'll praise you. No, He is with you in the middle of your storm. He's with you in the valley moment. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. And even when he invites you to sit down for a meal, remember where you are, in the presence of your enemies. The Bible never says that we're going to be without stuff. Everybody is born to trouble, the Bible. I love the verse in the Bible, and it says that that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. You know, it's like, it's going to happen. We've got to choose, who am I? I'm going to be under the problem. I'm going to be under all the problems. I'm going to get depressed about everything, or I'm going to be a people of praise. And I'm going to worship God even in the middle of the storm. You see, becoming a Christian is not just about being forgiven. Hallelujah for that. It's not just about going to heaven. Hallelujah for that. But it's also about getting and living and enjoying our new identity, our God-given identity. I am who I am by the grace of God, and I am a new creation because of Jesus. See if you can follow this in my last moments. When I met Rachel, she was Miss Rachel Smith. After a little while, she changed her identity. You were there, Brian. And she became Mrs. Rachel Critchley, wife. After a short time, it was the right amount of time, don't you worry, she became a mother. So she went from being single. In those days, we used to call it spinster. We don't use that word anymore, do we? Spinster. Hello, spinster as was. What? Well, single. Okay, we'll go for she was single. Then she became known as married. Then she became known as mother. After another amount of time, she became nan. She became nan to... She's now nan to the whole world. You know that, don't you? You know, I mean, in all the nations of the world that we go to, she's either called nan or mama Rachel or something or other. She's got all these different identities and, you know, one day she'll become... Great-grandma, great-grand, great-nan. What? You know, to you, she's who she is. You know, to me, she's just the most beautiful woman in the world. Can you see how that identity changes even naturally? But God wants the penny to drop in our hearts to say, you are a new creation. Yes. Let me tell you something about what God says about you in Isaiah 43, verse 4. This is God speaking to you. Not us speaking to God, which is how sometimes people read it. He says, you are precious. Can you imagine God saying that to you? You are precious and honored in my sight. And the verse carries on to say, and I love you. And then further on in the verse, it says, so do not be afraid, for I am with you. That's who you are. You're somebody who God considers to be precious. Don't waste your life by moaning and groaning. You're precious to God. Don't waste your life by letting your mind be filled with confusion, with anxiety, with this negative talk about who you think you are or who you think you aren't. Let what God thinks about you occupy your mind and your heart. You are who you are because of the grace of God. You are honored, it says. Honored? I mean, I cannot... imagine how God would say of me, I'm honored in his sight. The only thing I can say is, he called me, loved me, chose me, and I've spent the rest of my life trying and failing and trying and failing and trying to actually serve him and fulfill my destiny. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm standing in his presence, realizing that I'm presenting his holy word to his church, to his people, to encourage us all to realize who we are. I have a little saying to people who are going through a really tough time, and I say it sometimes to my family when they're struggling with stuff, and I used to say it to them when they were younger. I used to say, chin up, kiddo. Chin up, kiddo. Hold your head high. I want to say that to you in the name of Jesus. I want to say it prophetically. Some of you need to lift your chin up. Not in arrogance. It means head up. You can't pull your chin up without lifting your head. Lift up your head. Lift up your eyes. Lift it up. Walk around with a sense of joy. With a sense of being honored by God. change from being hands hanging down. The Bible's got a verse about that. We feel bowed down and the world isn't treating me right and somebody needs to sort me out. He did. He did. He has. And he will continue to do so as he shapes you. It's time to walk out of this building in a while and say, I'm going to face tomorrow with a new sense of identity. I am who I am because of the grace of God. And despite all my faults and all my failings, God loves me abundantly. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand with me, would you? We're going to sing this song as we embed this message into our hearts. Let's do it.